Welcome to Building Leaders, everyone, the show about the creative geniuses that are building our world. My name is Angelos Nicolaou. I'm your host and the director of Sector. Our guest today is Marco Bonelli, the digital lead of Vinci Construction in the UK. Marco is in his early 30s, and he is responsible for this huge role and for this huge company, the largest construction company in the world, as a matter of fact. He is full of energy, practical, but also has another dimension to him that we believe you will find very interesting. Marco cares deeply about making a long-lasting impact in an immeasurable way, and it takes a very special set of skills to get that done. We love talking to him, and we hope you enjoy it. Marco, if you can introduce yourself and what your position is and the name of your company as well.
Yes. So I'm Marco. I work for Vinci Construction UK. I'm the digital lead for UK for building division. My company has Vinci Construction UK as three different divisions, building, facility, and civil structure engineer. The digital lead for the building division, that is the biggest part of the business. I'm Italian. I moved to UK 6 years ago after my graduation. I'm also a structure engineer. So I started my career as a structure engineer. And now in Vinci Construction UK, I make sure that we follow innovation, we make sure that we follow process, BIM, and we try to work better, producing efficiency and realizing a better product with less cost and less time. This is our aim.
Yeah. Do you see an increase of demand since COVID happened?
I think business in construction start to realize that digitalization is a very important part of the business. Before, I considered that construction was a kind of dinosaur compared to other industry. But now I think that we must work from home. We cannot go out office, so we must to use digital tools. Digitalization, I think, is getting pushed to find a new way to work. So increasing efficiency. In this moment, we are losing efficiency because we cannot go on site. We need to keep distance. So we need to find a digital solution that can bring efficiency up again.
Right. We can't exactly be stuck and not be able to work from home just because we don't have our fax machines, just because we don't have our A1 printers, and we're unable to read plans on paper.
No, of course. I can give you an example. So all our director or our client are unable to do site inspection because we must to keep distancing on site or just allow the essential workers. So we are trying to find a digital system that allow everyone to do digital site visit remotely. Mm-hmm. And this one is a kind of innovation that was taking months and months before to try to roll out. And now everyone's in the benefit. So everyone is asking, yes, I want on my project. I want on my project. Please start straight away. And honestly, this kind of situation is improving our way to digitalize our construction site.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it makes sense. So let's go back to where you started. What was your motivation to study civil engineering? Did you always want to be an engineer, or were you exposed to construction?
All my family, they are engineers, so I will kind of grow up in this kind of direction. I studied a structural engineer, and I did an intern here in UK 6 years ago. Just the idea was to learn a bit of English and learn a kind of the profession. But I quite like my life in UK, so I continue to work in structural consultancy as a structural engineer. But I always had a passion for BIM, technology, innovation, try to make things work better as they were before.
Yeah.
And so being a structural engineer, I always try to look in a practical way what we can do. Not just looking at the theoretical part, it can look nice, but I need something that really looks, that it works better. Because I need to work.
Yeah. You said earlier that you started off your engineering career as a structural designer. Did you utilize technology or BIM early on, or is that something that you wanted to do a little bit more of, and perhaps that's why you even moved to the UK later on?
No, I consider myself quite lucky. So when I moved to UK, I worked as an intern in company that they were quite advanced in terms of BIM. And working in 3D. So when I was studying at university, I studied in a class traditional way. They were not involved in new technology. But when I moved to UK, the company where I was working, they were quite advanced. So I got involved on working in 3D, utilizing software that were using 3D technology, BIM technology. So from that moment on, I really got involved and I was liking the way the system was going. I was finding way to make the design more efficient, cutting time and reducing costs in terms of consultancy time. But after I realized that whatever I want to do more working in a consultancy, I was very limited on my scope of works. I can just improve the process, but I was very limited what I could do. unless the client was asking more technology. So this is the reason why a few years ago I decided to move on the other side from consultants to a contractor part, because I can be able to roll out more innovation because we are the one on site dealing with all the problem.
Right. And did you see a big difference there when you moved from the consultant to the contractor? Were you able to, let's say, make more digital decisions?
In the beginning, I think worse. I saw difference, but in the worse direction, because I think consultants are much more agile, a small business than a big contractor, tier one contractor. So I went to work in one of the top 20 UK tier one contractor, and they found everything very slow. And I was finding to work like in a giant company with very slow process. So try to digitalize, I think it was a very good challenge to make things work better.
Did you manage to do that? Was it successful?
We started a very good successful project, and we reduced construction issue by 80% just improving to process in terms of reworks on site and reworks on concrete. So moving from traditional way to a more digitalized ways with proper workflow and artificial intelligence, we started to have a reduction 80% of construction work.
This is really fascinating because you said this happened in top 20 GC in the UK. These are big ships to maneuver and to change direction. What do you think led to the success of that? Was it someone in the management? Was it all of the management was aligned? And we're interested in knowing your approach there. Did you know about this going in, or did you go in and discover that they were open to that?
So first of all, was one part of the management. So I was very direct involved in one very big project. So initially, we were trying to make new challenge, a new application. We were focusing one project. So we were not looking at the entire of the company, but we were focusing in one small project. So it was much better environment to be able to do new technology. With the proposal and the agreement of one of the director there, we were able to understand which were the bigger issue. So when I arrived there, I understand which is the biggest issue in this moment that that's the project. And the biggest issue was we are doing too many reworks in our concrete structure, really spending hundreds of pounds per month in this kind of rework. So we tried to tackle this issue and we found software and application that would help us. And honestly, we were not expecting a reduction of more than 80%, but honestly, it was a very great result. And probably I would say that the way to involve everyone is try to understand the concept, have the answer, understanding which is the problem, have the answer, and showing that it's not hard to use it. So if we try to find a solution that can be great, but it's going to be very hard to use, it's never going to be used. Because we need to hand over the solution to people on site that work in the same way for the last 20 years. We need to find something very easy and that it can be in a very basic training for people to understand how to do work better. And all this kind of new innovation is going to go in their favor because they're going to work less, to work better.
And what was that solution?
We have two different solutions. One was in design solution in terms of reducing class detection. And the other one was a way to use QR code on site to retrieve all the latest information drawing, just scanning a QR code on the beginning of the opening of the flat. So we create an API using an IT company to be able, with a normal tablet, scanning in the QR code, all the latest information were on site. So we were basically saving hours per day for each person because they had the latest information without getting mad, honestly, to find the latest data.
Yeah, because people are extremely frustrated when they can't find what they're looking for. And it's what constantly is happening in construction. You're buried in paper.
Yes. And that project was a tower of 32 stories. So I've seen with my eyes, construction manager going to the latest floor, realizing that they printed the wrong drawing. So going down to ground floor, going to the site cabin, and going back to the 30th floor. And honestly, it took almost a good 40 minutes because there was no normal lift. There was basically
right.
a lift. So take
right.
a long
you
time
to
for
wait.
Them
yeah.
to go up and down. And I was there outside looking at them. I said, like, this cannot work. We are a 21st century. This, something like this one cannot exist.
And I'm sure you faced backlash, especially in a large company like that.
Yes.
From some people that are there, and we're talking contractor. We had another Italian on the podcast, Costanzo Graffi from Acom. And one of the things that he was saying to us is that it's so difficult to change the way an old person or a person with a lot of experience thinks. And it's especially difficult for contractors because one of the things that they value is talent that has been around, that has been there for 20, 30, 40 years sometimes. And even when they're retired, they still stay on as consultants. So how do you, I don't know if you've had to deal with these people, and if you had to, how did you deal with them?
Yes, definitely. I think that changing the culture in construction industry is the biggest issue. Before even looking which type of technology we can use, which type of company we should look for or partner with, try to change the culture is the first step. And I can see that it's very hard. What we try to do, what I've tried to do in my personal experience, is so we can use the Cairo, so we can use the stick. Using the stick will never work. I can never go to a very experienced person and say, from now on, you must use this new solution because, trust me, it works. He's just going to get the tablet or whatever solution I'm going to give to him, I'm just going to trash it away. Put it in his drawer and never use it. What I think is the best solution to do is try to make a proof of concept with the more digital enthusiastic people, showing that this system can really use. So in this case, we really showed that we got the first group of 10 people, the very young digital-minded people, and showing that they were really saving almost a good hour per day because they were having all the latest information available. So even the person that was a bit older, the more experienced one, start to realize that they were working more than other people just because they were not using a solution that was available. So we realized that those people that in the beginning were against, they start to ask, can I please use the solution too? Because I see the benefit.
Yeah.
So probably starting sharing the information and proving that this kind of new solution is not just there because we like it. In terms of management or leadership, we can think a solution. I think it's great. Let's use it. Need to win the people on side that they're really going to use it. Until that point is going to be passed, any kind of solution is never going to work, I believe.
Yeah.
So all the kind of solution we are trying now in Vinci Construction to use, we are trying to win first the people on site and showing them that what we are doing is just for their benefit because we want them to work better.
Do you think the fact that you're Italian and you come from a warmer climate that's perhaps more sensitive to people's feelings, emotions, that's more people-centric, let's say, has an effect on how successful you've been in implementing new digital solutions?
I don't know. Probably could be. I think that being practical could be a very good point and not just being lost in theoretical elements, but try to find something really practical that can help people on site, I think is a very good point to start.
Right.
And where I'm trying to focus all my energy when I'm trying to develop something.
Yeah. And when you left from MLM Group and you went to John Sick & Son, one of the most prominent companies in the UK as well, and you had a leading role there as well?
Yes. So when I went to John Sick & Son was when I moved to a tier one contractor, and I was leading the South UK in terms of BIM digitalization. Yeah. So I spent there not long. I spent there 1.5 years. Mm-hmm. It's been a great time for me. Where I had the support of all directors and manager, and we achieved a very great result. We won as well a few awards in terms of digitalization, one international award in Las Vegas last year in terms of the digital solution that we provided. It was really supporting time saving in terms of 33% on the QA and QC system. That's a very important part of a construction process. Whenever we build something, we must make sure that we build in the right way. And the QA and QC process really take a long time to make sure that it's perfect.
Yeah. Most of the solutions that you implemented, were they from external partners, or did you do some internal innovations or internal development of projects?
I would say both. So being a construction company, we don't have the technical capacity to build a kind of IT system. So we try to understand which is the problem first. Mm-hmm. So some information can be just ready packaged that we can use, buy off the shelf, buy the license and using. Some other solution needs a tweak, and it is when we get in contact with, so when I was at John Sisk, we got in contact with the US IT company that built an API, a system that was connecting to systems that were not talking to each other that we really needed to. Mm-hmm. Or now when I'm the Vinci Construction, we are trying to partner with technological company in the way that we have particular ideas to fully fill our problem, to fix our problem, but we don't have the technical capacity in terms of IT infrastructure,
right,
being a construction company. So we try to partner with technical company and technical provider as well.
What would you say to companies that are obsessed or maybe perhaps a little bit paranoid with keeping all of the intellectual property in-house, keeping all the developments in-house? Do you think they can be successful?
It's not sure. So I think that in this moment, construction has too many silos. In this moment, our industry really need more collaboration, I would say. It's an industry that is the last most digitized industry. Only agriculture is just less digitized than us. And we need to tackle this kind of problem in a more common way, not just looking at our old small garden, because otherwise we'll never go forward and try to be better.
Do you think that those companies will eventually fail if they don't collaborate the way others do? Do you think that...
Not necessary. I think there is as well a kind of economical impact. So if we try to do something on our own, that's going to be a much bigger cost to get in front of us. But if we try to share with other kind of company, we are reducing the cost, making sure that even having different type of people inside that can contribute to our success. Mm-hmm.
There was a McKinsey report, I think a couple of years ago, that said, on average, no matter what proprietary technology you come up with, it takes an average of another company of 1 to 2 years to copy you or come up with something very similar on their own.
Yeah, I guess so. So trying to just build something on our own, I think, is something that doesn't work great. So we're trying to partner, find which is the right solution. As I say, we are not an IT company. So for us to try to find the solution just on our own, we have to employ a list of IT architects, business analysis, or IT people that we don't have at this moment. And time we are going to realize something, it's going to be probably someone else done in a much faster way, and what we produce is already obsolete, just because we are not specialized in this kind of field. Mm-hmm.
And that was the time that when you were at John Siska and Son, that was the time when you also presented Autodesk, and you said that was the first time you presented in front of such a large crowd. What was your experience? What was your experience there? I was there myself, and it was a really impressive presentation about BIM and how your team was utilizing BIM to make construction more effective.
So it was the first time I really presented in front of 300 people. So I was struggling in the beginning after I got more comfortable. But I think that was a great opportunity to show what we'll be able to do it in terms of improving our site experience and trying to put the 3D model at the center of our construction experience. So what I was talking at the time is we use 3D model just for 90% of the case, just for design. We never bring those model on site. And when I talk on site, it's not on the site cabin on our laptop, but just getting on a tablet and going on a construction site. So I thought it was a kind of crazy not moving the model from where we are building. So we try to find solution to make the 3D model center of our construction project. Right. It was a project that I'm still very passionate of, that I was bringing on John Siska and Son. Now I'm trying to do the same with Vinci Construction, looking from this different perspective. So at the time I was more practical involved on the project. Now I'm more strategic involved. So I'm supporting and get supported by colleagues that we can work together towards the same goal.
Do you feel that sometimes these conferences, especially the construction technology conferences, are perhaps a bit of a bubble with just people that are extremely enthusiastic, and then I'll put myself in there, we're patting each other's backs, and then we get out to the real world and people that are out in the field are just the same amount of negative as they were before?
I would say yes, and probably the kind of construction event like Autodesk University on UK Digital Construction Week or London Build, I think needs to have more director or management level involved. Because if you just keep as a niche of BIM manager, BIM lead, BIM coordinator, BIM technician, everyone just is passionate about construction industry and about digitalization, it's going to be just a bubble. Just ourselves inside, that when we step out and we go back to our normal work, we, as you said, we are still surrounded by negativity about digitalization in construction. But if we try to bring director, MD, the person that really deal with the money of the company, start to understand what we can do better, probably this kind of perception can change.
So if you're enthusiastic about construction tech and you registered to go to one of these conferences, bring a friend who's negative.
I would say yes. My target is for the next construction industry event I'm going, so hopefully it's going to be October, considering the current situation, I'm trying to bring a director or someone that is really negative about construction, digital construction, to show him that we can do something better.
That's tough. Good luck.
Yeah, it's my target for the next construction event.
Good luck. Good luck for both. Good luck for the event happening. Let's hope they restart, even if they start with masks. Masks and gloves, which I think is going to be really strange. But even if they do, let's hope that you're able to achieve that. I think that's really important what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. So hopefully in October, we should have an event in London for Digital Construction Week. So it's still planning ahead. So probably we could go, we could meet there.
Yes, of course. We were planning on it. We'll see now. And during your time at John Sisk, you also became an associate lecturer, which you're still at that role right now.
Yes. So I started to, it was in October, the first semester of lesson. So in London Metropolitan University in the architectural part, in the architectural school, having a short course of BIM and digital construction. So I had one in October, one in December. There was supposed to be one in March that has been canceled due to the common reason.
Yeah.
And it's something that I was not expecting to go. I never thought in my life to go back in terms of university career.
Yeah.
I never considered myself good as a teacher. Mm-hmm. I always consider myself that I can know something, but I quite struggle to make that concept very simple for someone that doesn't know what I'm talking with. In the end, this opportunity came along. Honestly, I would say that I quite enjoyed spending those weeks with between 18 and 22 years old guys trying to teach, which is my experience, and try to make more people in digital construction. I think the construction has a very huge gap in terms of age. Not many people want to go in construction. They want to do so many other jobs. But if you ask when you're at school who wants to go in construction, the amount of people is very limited. Probably because it seems like a dirty job, it's dusty, stay outside when it's winter or when it's so hot. And there is no technology involved.
Yeah. It's not cool.
Yeah. It's not cool.
It's not cool. It's not cool. And it takes a lot of brain power to work in construction. Frankly, people who work in construction are really, really smart. I mean, they're building the world around us. They're building bridges. They're building roads. They're building huge buildings. And you have serious companies like Google and Facebook and, high-tech companies that pay better, that give you better working hours, that give you a better working environment. So how do we start to bring these people, now that you have this experience, from the university, how do you think we can start bringing these people over to construction? Is it just technology, or is it, just having a cool culture as well?
I think a cool culture and technology could help. So when I was at John Sisk, I did few events in primary school. So we went to primary school with virtual reality headset, showing to kids that working in construction is not just being on site and building something, be a bricklayer. So it's not just be a practical person on site building something, but it's as well be able to use cool elements like a VR headset. So we made them play going around the building, and they were quite amazed. It was like a video game. So yes, you can treat some part of gaming, of VR, AR, a kind of video game, because in the end, it came from gaming industry. So probably try to attract guys and girls in a more fascinating way through video gaming can be a good way, I would say.
I remember in the U.S., the U.S. military puts ads on TV. You don't really see that here in Europe much. Military doesn't put ads on TV to attract talent.
Yeah.
but one of the ads was about, I think, the U.S. Air Force. And it shows a soldier flying a drone with a VR headset. And it just looks like the coolest thing on earth. And usually military is associated with something not peaceful on your mind, at the very least. But that looks so cool. And I remember every time I saw it, I would think, damn, I mean, it must be really cool to work there. I think what they're saying is, you make a great point here. Technology will attract more talent, and construction is a huge industry, and it's here to stay, and it's changing, and we should just make younger people in the world know more about it as well.
Yes, definitely. I think, as I say, even if we are the last digitized industry, it's still happening. While in other sectors already happened, like IT or ICT or media, in construction is currently happening. It's much slower than other industry, but the kind of digitalization transformation is currently happening everywhere. Yeah. We see drones flying around construction site to take picture or understanding the construction status or 360 camera or robot. Of course, there are type of technology that we can use now, of type of technology like robot that is going to be used maybe in 6-10 years' time. It's still probably early to see construction site with robot going around independently, but probably in 10 years' time, it can start to be normal.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes.
I mean, everybody knows robots are a little bit more efficient than humans, let's say. What would you say to people that are afraid of technology? And since we're on the talk about robots, have you faced any resistance due to fear of technology or robots or AI taking Yes. the role of humans?
Yes. It's not just on non-robots, but even on simple digital technologies. So I think in construction, two fields that are really struggling to embrace technology are QS and planning. In terms of these two fields, it's very hard to bring technology and make people trust in that technology. So as an example, it's very common in UK when we do quantity takeoff for a bill of quantities, doing from A2D PDF, upscaling a PDF and getting the measurement that is cubic meter, square meter, linear meter. So we trust a PDF upscaling so many times and getting the quantities, but we don't trust a software that can do that automatically. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to win the culture, and a resistance that I find is if we go in this way, I will lose my job because I'm not the one that is being there taking quantities one by one. And my answer is not. Is your job is going to be different. Right. It's not going to be the job that you're going to take one by one quantity, write on a note, all yeah. the square meter of that room and adding the total up, but just going to be the person that check what the computer is doing is right. Of course, this job from maybe 3 days is going to be a few hours, but you will be able to analyze more project. Yeah. So I see that the job is going to change. It's not going to be lost.
Yeah. Are these two specializations that you spoke about, scheduling and estimating, some of the first that you predict would perhaps be radically changed by technology?
I don't think the first, but in this moment are the one that we old construction workers or everyone in our industry really struggle to embrace technology. Yeah. When we try to embrace technology in these two sectors, we really been look as we really want to get away your job. It's not what we are doing. We are trying to improve to help you.
Yeah. Help you do it more accurately, faster. Yes.
And doing better.
Yeah. And talk to us about Vinci as well. For those who, I don't know, I don't think there's many people around that don't know what Vinci is. I guess talk to us about the division of Vinci that you're in and what is the primary purpose of that division and then what is your role there?
Yeah, so I joined Vinci 7 months ago now. Was a client of surprise. I was not expecting to change role very fastly, but my current manager, Liam Roberts, the head of design, was really keen to get me on board in terms of digital transformation. So Vinci Construction is the UK-based company of Vinci France, and we have 6 different regions. So the company is divided in 3 sectors, building, civil, and facility. So I'm working in the building team, and the building division has 6 regions in UK. So 6 regional offices. We are specialized mainly or all building division, but we work a lot on healthcare. So in this moment, you can imagine that it's quite big and challenging problem. We just finished to build 2 temporary hospitals, one in Manchester and one in Newcastle, I think. Mm-hmm. So the government is building many temporary hospitals, and the current one, I'm trying to improve their ICU intensive care unit. Yeah. That's because we really struggle in this moment. So we have projects where we really work 24/7 in the last month, 3 shifts a day to be able to develop a project that usually take months and just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. And you're the digital engineering lead. What does that mean exactly? Do you handle anything that has to do with digital implementations? Do you work with the IT people? Who do you work with?
So I think many companies call this role in many different ways. someone called head of digital, head of BIM or digital BIM. So my role is try to embrace digitalization and make sure that we have a path to follow and all our projects work in the same way, try to be more efficient.
Yeah.
So in my role, I collaborate with all the BIM manager, BIM coordinator in all the different region, regions inside my company. And we try to work better. So understand which is the problem, how to tackle the problem, and which type of technology we can use. Of course, I work closely with IT and all the other type of division between planning, commercial, operatives, because we try to support the company in many different ways.
Yeah.
So when in this moment we are trying to make a list of future innovation in the next 18 months, and we are looking not just in construction, so we are looking design, we are looking planning, we are looking aftercare, we are looking handover. So try to tackle the problem at 360 degrees.
Yeah. By the way, people are going to think you're like 100 years old with all this experience that you have, but I can assure you, everyone, Marco is really young. So it's as impressive as it sounds. What do you look for in a new technology that you'd like to implement for your team? How do you start looking for a technology? Do you identify a problem out in the field and then you start looking for a technology? Or do you go to these events or randomly search online and see what else is new out there and what you can implement, test it out and do it that way?
I will say in many ways. So we try to understand where are the issues the currently we have. So when we identify the big issues we have, we try to find the right technology, right solution for it. Or sometimes going in event, we find something different that we've never seen before. So we try to understand which is the benefit. Or in my role in the past year, I made many contacts between different supplier chain, consultants, other contractor clients or technological provider. So being in this kind of network, you hear speaking about different solutions that you didn't hear before. Or sometimes even just going out for a drink for when we were able to before. So I hope soon we'll be able to again. Finding and speaking with other consultants about some other solution, just hearing about and so trying to understand what this solution does.
Yeah.
So I would say is there is no one way to find a new technology.
Is cost ever a factor? Is ease of use for the people out in the field ever a factor when it comes to these technologies?
I would say yes. It's honestly, every time we try to have a new technology, the first question we always ask by a director is how much it's going to cost. I can speak for hours. I can show video, animation, what we can fix, which is the problem. But the first question that came up is how much it's going to cost, which is the benefit. So which is the return of investment? Of course, higher is the return of investment, more likely is the solution that we can enroll is going to likely to happen.
Right. So it's not so much about the cost. It's more about the return on investment. I think that's really solid advice for anyone out there that is thinking of doing something digital in their company, taking a digital initiative. You spoke about interaction with other people from the industry. In general, you spoke about an open culture. How important has that been for you in your career to exchange information, perhaps with other people in the same position as you in a competitor company?
No, I think it's very important because we always work in silos in this industry, thinking that only us, we have this problem. But really, when we have this problem, the same identical problem is happening many times, all our contractors, all our people in UK, all around the world. So trying to speak with other competitors about which is our problem, how each of us is tackling the issues, I think is really supporting us because our industry in this moment probably needs more collaboration than silos.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way to go and improve technology and innovation and digitalization than just keeping our small garden, being scared that someone else can look what we are doing, they can do better. Because sooner or later, they are going to know what we are doing. Because all we advertise in some conference or we do PR just because we'd like to advertise what we are doing better. So sooner or later, other company is going to know what we are doing.
Yeah.
So, but try to speak first and try to understand common issue can support the way we tackle the problem in a more common way.
Yeah. You might learn from others, you might help others, and eventually we're all helping everyone.
Yes, hopefully yes.
What are the main skills one should have to do what you do in a great way in order to be successful as a digital leader or as a digital implementer?
I think probably being enthusiastic about technology, digitalization, is one of the main key. Always being curious about what is surrounding us. So to be able to basically be a digital lead, you need to know new technology. And the only way to do it is being curious around, reading newspaper, reading magazine, LinkedIn, Twitter. So all everything's happening around. Try to be curious and probably try to be practical, understanding which is the problem and trying to, in a practical way, to tackle the problem, because none of us is able to do everything. So some other skill can be built with training in terms of commercial skill or communication skill. But I think being curious and about, you know, technology, enthusiastic and practical can be a very good point.
How do you, because you've mentioned before also about tackling specific problems. So you look at what's the issue at hand and how you can solve it with technology. Is there a bigger vision behind that? So I guess my question is, what's the end game of this? And do you have the end game in mind? Or are you looking to solve the next big problem and you take it step by step?
We'd like to take step by step, but our end goal is to see our industry, and in my case, my company, to be digitally advanced enough to be able to spend less and build a better project. Because construction industry UK is an industry that works with 2% margin. If you consider Forbes that say that in a construction project, 30% of the project cost is wasted in reworks of material waste.
Yeah.
So there is a huge potential to make cost saving, to have better environmental impact. If we consider, if you ask the common knowledge, which is construction, is an industry that creates pollution. So try to even improve environmental impact, I think. So right. Coming back to your answer, step by step as well, to be digitized enough to save money and protect the environment.
I think that's a great leadway into a question that we love to ask all of the guests on the show. And that is, how would you like to see construction 10 years from now? What are some technological advances that you'd like to see? What are some changes that you'd like to see?
Probably I would love to see paper disappear from sight. Pen and paper probably should not exist anymore. We should have a phone, a tablet. Each of us at home has a phone or a tablet. So just be an extension of our hand and working with the phone and tablet on site. And to be honest, it's going to really change the way it could work. If we consider the paper that we could save, we can really save, other than trees, but tons of CO2 that is coming from printing and using paper on site.
Just from printing alone?
Yes. In the project I did before with John Sieski, just cutting 40% of paper on the construction project, if I'm not wrong, saved something like 1.5 tons of CO2 just because we didn't use paper. We reduced the amount of paper, sorry.
And probably millions of pounds as well.
Yes.
In the process.
So probably we'll say in 10 years' time, pen and paper disappearing can be a really good target, considering
like target.
The speed how we are going now.
I like that target. Do you see AI playing a role in construction, since you're involved with BIM, which is really centered about around collecting massive amounts of data?
I would like just not be involved in BIM. So I would just look more widely in terms of digital construction, as BIM just one part of digital construction.
Right.
I think AI is a great opportunity for us. If we consider AI, we use in our everyday life. Each of us watch Netflix, but each of us has a different page. How the content are shown to us, which are the preferred, which are the main element that appear. And it's just AI that works for Netflix.
Yeah.
So AI is so common in our day-to-day life that we don't realize. If we make pen and paper disappear, all the information really are in the cloud. Really, AI can support us. I'm currently having many talks about AI and machine learning, but if in this moment we use paper and we take weeks to transform the paper and digitize all the elements in our laptop, AI can just give me some insight of what has happened for weeks ago.
Yeah.
And to be honest, doesn't give me any benefit if it's telling me your project was late for weeks ago.
Right.
I need to know that my project is late now.
Yeah.
So it could really support us if we really work in a cloud and all the information are digitized alive.
That's really an interesting perspective. And I think it's very practical too. And I'm getting this practical vibe from you. And I think that's what's really helping you be successful in what you're doing. A question that I have for you is, you started as you know, a BIM consultant, you were a designer, and then you moved to being a BIM engineer and a BIM lead, and now you're the digital engineering lead, and you have this managerial role. So you've been through the steps of going up there. Many companies that we visit don't have someone who is dedicated towards the digitization of a company. Do you believe that digitization can happen if you don't have a lead? And how important is that role to have someone dedicated there toward digitization?
I think digitalization can only happen if the main director and the board will buy into it. So first of all, having digital lead but not having the full buy from the directors will never make anything happen. So first of all, you need to have a buy from the top head of the company and make them believe that going digitally, spending some money now, is going to really create a huge saving in the future. But after the main director will believe in this project, not having anyone that can physically tackle the problem in a practical way is never going to make it happen. Because director doesn't have the time to do it. Design manager, construction manager, they don't have the skill and as well they don't have the time. So probably I would say need to be someone that supports the digitalization of the company.
Who's enthusiastic and passionate about this and patient.
Yeah, it's a full-time role, and especially you need to be patient because in our industry, nothing happens between day and night. Yeah. To be able to improve something take months, months, and months. Just because you have to talk with so many different people, try to convince them. When you convince them, try to prove that the system works. Once it's proof, they ask how much money will I need now just to be able to have some benefit. And maybe if the benefits come in a few years' time, it's still an investment that needs to be taken now.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We really do hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you think that it delivered value to you, please share it with a friend who will appreciate it as well. Thanks.